Paul gives us a little different view of the Christmas story, and he takes us to the throne room in heaven, and he shows us where Jesus was before he chose to become one of us. He shows us what Jesus had before he gave it all to be with us. He shows us the Lord of hosts before he took on the title Emmanuel. He shows us the King of Kings before he became the Lamb of God. Jesus had all the rights and privileges of God, just as much as the Father or of the Spirit. All the wisdom, all the power, all the love. He had perfect relationship. He wasn't lonely. He wasn't hurting for conversation. He wasn't wishing that he could have new friends or better friends. He had perfect community with the Father and with the Spirit. There was no need unmet in the heart of Jesus. And he dwelt in the most perfect place, surrounded by angels and heavenly beings who were constantly saying, "You're amazing. You're wonderful. You're holy. You're perfect. There's nothing wrong with you. You're the standard. You have it all. Just to be with you is the most incredible privilege that any created being could have. You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. Every minute of every second." Yet he chose not to grasp onto it. He chose not to cling to it. He chose not to hang on to it. He had every right to stay there, to enjoy it. But here's what he chose to do. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. He initiated. He chose humility. He chose humanity. He chose to enter a world that he created, but that sin has ravaged. And he chooses not only to come, but to come as a human being, a member of a race that has rejected him and rebelled against him. Brothers and sisters, I pray this Christmas we'd be filled afresh with just how undeserving we are, that he would show us such unbelievable love. Because when we realize we don't deserve it, and we've gotten everything we could ever get, our hearts are filled with a passion to tell everyone, you can have it too. You can be free. He'll meet you right where you are. You don't have to become anything but desperate. He came that he might die in order to bring the rebels back into loving union with himself. So he leaves perfect peace for a world of violence. He leaves perfect friendship for loneliness and rejection and betrayal. He leaves glory and honor for shame and disgrace, and he leaves comfort for suffering. When we see the baby lying in the manger, one thing that we see is that's the kind of God who knows every kind of pain and hurt and discouragement and frustration and longing that I've ever felt. The kind of God that comes with pomp and circumstance and all the big time stuff, I don't know if I can relate to. But the kind of God who would come like this God came, in some backwoods manger, back behind some barn somewhere, with just like the smelly animals to herald the coming of this king. That's the kind of God I can relate to. That's the kind of God that relates to my pain, my suffering. Amen? Oh, this story is so amazing. He left his rightful place and he was violently placed in a foreign environment. There's a word for that, and the word is displaced. Taken from the place that you should be and put in a place you don't belong. I want to show you just a little clip from the movie Amazing Grace that is just kind of a picture of displacement. Can we do that, David? This is the scene where William Wilberforce is shown a real slave ship by Equiano, an African prince who was sold into slavery and has come back to fight to see the slave trade ended in England. It's not a silent movie, but we might get the point anyways. Equiano is showing Wilberforce what it was like to be on a slave ship, how human bodies are packed into these small places. Talks about how the journey lasts for 3 weeks and how it's full of filth and disease and stench the whole time. And he talks about how the women especially are tortured and how the most sick were often thrown overboard. And then here in a second, Equiano is going to do the most outrageous thing. What he's going to do is he's going to sit down and just kind of let Wilberforce just kind of sit and soak it in. In the last line of this scene, Equiano says, "I was a prince, not unlike you, and I was taken, and I was put on a ship like this." And he says, "I remember it was a beautiful sunny day, the day that I was taken away." All right. You get the idea. Now, here's the outrageous thing. Jesus knew the filth. He knew the stench. He knew the conditions he was entering. And he chose to become one of us so that we could be free. That's what it means to be displaced. Have you ever been displaced? You ever been someplace that you just feel like you're not supposed to be? You don't know how to leave or how things work, and you'd rather be just anyplace else? Did it happen to you voluntarily or not? But to be displaced is to be put in an unfamiliar, unsafe place. I remember 5 years ago, pretty sad really that this is the only story that I can share where I can even begin to relate to what it might feel like to be displaced. I willingly went and spent a couple of weeks, one in a hostel on the edge of downtown Denver, Colorado, and then a few days at a rehab, drug and alcohol rehab out in the country. And I remember when I was in the city, I made this note in my journal. "I just want to get to a park. I can't wait to get out of this city. It's not that I hate the city. I just know I can't leave. And I feel trapped. Those who live here must feel it constantly." To be displaced feels unsafe. You feel trapped. You feel scared. And if you see people who are really displaced, then you feel a new level of compassion that you've never felt before. Remember, I showed you some pictures of some political refugees on a mountain in Iraq, Iranian refugees. And to look into the face of men and women who had a life someplace that was not like the one they're now living in, tents and with sickness, is one thing. But to look at the kids and to know this little girl, this little boy should be coming home to fresh cookies in a place where they know what it's going to be like at home. They know what tomorrow's going to look like. But for little kids to not know what tomorrow's like, to not know how long they'll have to live in this tent, to not know when they can see a doctor, that's real displacement. Remember the pictures from Katrina? Did you interact with any of the refugees? People who'd been displaced. That's the Philippians 2 picture of the kind of God that we serve. Jesus identifies with every part of human suffering. The Bible says we've all been displaced by sin. In fact, our entire world has been displaced. It's not as it should be. Our world is a slave ship, and we're slaves, and we don't even realize it, is what the story of the Bible says. And the story says that we cooperated with the rebellion, that we chose slavery without Him, rather than give Him control of our hearts. And the Bible says that we lived in slavery so long we didn't realize we were slaves, and if we could recognize our condition, we'd be powerless to do anything about it. But there's good news. Amen. According to verses 9 through 11, Jesus' voluntary displacement uniquely qualifies Him to be our Savior, to be the one we've longed for, to be our Redeemer, to be the one that sets us free, to be the one that gives us life and hope and destiny and future. Hebrews 4 says it like this: "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need." Merry Christmas to you. Jesus had you, not somebody else, but everybody else, in His mind's eye as He chose to come to earth. And He had you in His mind's eye when He chose to leave Nazareth. And He had you in His mind's eye when He chose to go to the cross. Why? For the right to say, "You are mine. I love you. I've proven my love for you. I've done everything I can do to give you freedom and hope and life, that you might enjoy me forever, to the glory of my Father, who is that kind of God." Well, the Bible says that that kind of outrageous grace, that kind of outrageous love, that kind of a bizarre love story, where Jesus comes and meets us right where we are, demands a response. And if He is a displaced God, we're called a displaced people. Henry Nouwen says, "It's in Him we see a life of displacement lived to the fullest. It's in following our displaced Lord that the Christian community is formed." Peter says, "We're a displaced people called to follow our displaced King in obedience." He says it's our identity. And he uses words like strangers, aliens, foreigners, temporary residents. To be displaced means to exist for people who are not yet part of the family. And this is my challenge to us, the Bridgeway community, this Christmas. We follow a displaced God. Are we willing to be a displaced people in 2008? And to be displaced is to willingly lay aside our privileges to identify with the vulnerable. To be a displaced people is to live by faith and courage and hope as we obey in circumstances where we don't feel comfortable, where we don't know the language or the rules, where we aren't assured of the outcome. What people do in refugee camps is they begin to try to recreate the culture. They begin to try and grab something that's familiar. But Jesus calls us this year to go out of the camp, to go out into the places where it's scary and unfamiliar, and to incarnate the life of Jesus in a world that He loves and gave His life for. So we commit this Christmas to celebrate a displaced King, to celebrate the fact that we're His displaced people. And that practically means that we go this year with all our hearts to identify with those who are still in chains. It means that we're willing to go back into the slave ship that we've been freed from, that others might be free. And the ship is our families, it's our neighborhoods, it's the streets where drugs and prostitution are sold, it's our schools, it's conference rooms, it's courtrooms, it's capitals, it's AIDS hospices, it's orphanages, and it's lands far away. It's no secret that God has a dream in His heart for this community, and it's that we would live as radically displaced people. And we don't do that because we're spiritual enough or because we have been trained to or because we have gifts and talents. We do it because that's the kind of God that we serve. The kind of God who left every privilege and right and came to us so that we could be with Him. Amen? There's a metaphor that the Bible gives us for this idea that we are a displaced people, called to go out among those who have yet been freed. And that metaphor is light. We are the light in the dark. So I want you to stand with me. And I'm going to offer a prayer. And then just as a picture of our commitment to celebrate this displaced king and to embrace our role as a displaced people, we're going to light our candles and we're going to worship Him, the light of the world, who's given us the light to go and take out not only this Christmas season, but throughout this next year. And we're going to do this in a certain way. We've learned a few things through the years that keep like tons of wax off the carpet. And it is, if the person who already has the flame would just hold your candle straight up and down, and the person who has not yet the flame can bend their candle over to get the flame. That makes sense? So if you've already got hot wax cooking, don't pour it on the carpet. Right? That's the deal. We're going to light our candles, and here in just a minute, I'm going to pray, and then people who are like around the front, I want you to go ahead and, we already have like official fire people? That's fabulous. Then we'll do that. Let me pray. We'll begin to sing and worship together. Lord, we love You so much. This story, this picture is outrageous in Your love and grace shown to us who least deserve it. Would You, this Christmas season and throughout this year, give us the faith, the dependence on You, Your power in us to be willing to put ourselves in vulnerable places, in unsafe conditions, where we just don't know the rules, but we know that we have to identify with those who don't yet know You. You're the light in us. We say, take us wherever You want us to go. We'll go. We love You. In the name of Jesus, send us out. Amen.